The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Today, we have on Dr. Elijah Goldstein. We're talking about his amazing new book called Tiny Shifts, How Emotional Health Transforms Stress, Relationships, and Longevity, all by making teeny tiny shifts in your everyday life. So let's hear them. Thank you so much for coming on, and I love everything that you're talking about to make everybody feel more regulated and calm. It's like what we need in this world now. So let's launch right into like how you even came into this space and what made you be such an emotionally regulated human.
Okay. So I probably, like a lot of people, have felt the pull of overwhelm that we're experiencing right now. I mean, we're in an unprecedented time. And if you want to speak specifically to parents are juggling so many things. They're sleep deprived oftentimes, especially when they're just starting to have kids, and there's conflicts in the relationship. And also, we just have so much information coming at us at any given time. I would talk to my friends, I would talk with my clients, I would talk with most people, and I'd say, how are you feeling? And they'd say, there's just a lot going on right now. Aside from the people, of course, that would just say, fine, which means they're kind of just covering up. I don't want to answer that question, maybe, is the response there. And so I realized a lot of us are trying to make big changes. We're fed big changes through our social media and Instagram that we want to kind of engage with, or that we're trying to be pulled to engage with. And really, it's just about how we meet the moments in our everyday lives. And oftentimes it's just about making these small emotional pivots. And as a psychologist, this is what I've been teaching myself and other people for the past maybe over 20 years. And so that's where the idea of tiny shifts came from.
I love the idea that it's tiny shifts. And I feel like for a lot of people, depending on the space that people have in their, or the bandwidth that they have, I should say, about how much information to take in or how many changes to make in their lives to help them feel more regulated. The word tiny, for me at least, is a much more approachable and digestible way of looking at it. Have you found that with just the response?
Yeah. So this is how kind of we work. When we're feeling overwhelmed in a moment, maybe our maybe we haven't slept well, or our kids, or depending on what age they are, when they could tantrum up until before they go to college, right? And so that could happen. Or our brain doesn't have the capacity to pull what we've listened to on a lot of the wonderful podcasts we've listened to, or the books we've read, or all these great things that we've learned. As a friend, a mentor of mine who you may know, Dan Siegel, says, we've kind of flipped our lid, right? And so we're operating from the emotional center of our brain. So we don't really have the emotional capacity to do all the great things that we've learned that are going to help us. And so what happens is we fall into this, what I call this emotional loop. And it's a conditioned patterning that maybe we've learned from the time we, in our families growing up, or transgenerationally, or we just learned over time. And we react in a way that we wish we hadn't. And really, the tiny shift that when we learn that all we really need to do, we don't need to be perfect in life. And we all heard that before. We just need to be, I love that kind of term, kind of good enough. And these small moments, these tiny shifts, when we learn that the first thing we need to do is just be able to be aware and maybe name quietly what's happening within us. I'm feeling overwhelmed right now. I'm feeling frustrated. I'm feeling irritated. I'm feeling like I just don't want to be here moment. That does something really interesting. That tends to deactivate the emotional center of our brain a little bit, interrupts it. It interrupts it so that we can do something different in the moment, so that we can make a different choice. And once we realize that that's the first step, and that's really all we need to begin practicing, is noticing when we're feeling activated. It happens somatically in our bodies first, and we can just kind of name it. Then we can begin to interrupt it. Another little tiny shift that we have to, that's important to learn, is that this does happen somatically. So when we are feeling overwhelmed or frustrated or irritated or angry or just like too much, life is too much, when we are aware of how it pulls in our body, we can begin to release it a little bit, literally like lowering our shoulders or taking a deep breath with a longer exhale or shaking it out in our body. We widen that space between stimulus and response to make a different choice. Even if the choice is, oh God, I really screwed up there and snapped at my kid, or was really short with my partner or whatever. And I can then own that and say, I'm really sorry that that happened. I snapped there and I'm really sorry that I lost it in that moment. That the repair there is the teaching that we have with our kids or with our partners. And so we can make this simpler for ourselves. I almost named this book Tiny Shifts, Life Can Be This Simple. My dad wrote this book years ago called Life Can Be This Good. And I was like, what if it was life can be this simple? We can make things simpler for ourselves. In a culture of overwhelm that we live in, the antidote is simplicity. And we can learn to make things simpler in the moment for ourselves to support a better moment.
You mentioned earlier that when you talk to people, if they're parents or even if they're not parents, and you say, how are you doing? Or how's it going? And people say, well, it's a lot. Everything feels like a lot right now, or I feel like I'm overwhelmed. What do you say to people as a response? Because I feel like there are so many people who say, or try to fix it right away for someone, depending on your closeness to the person. But as someone who's as well-seasoned and intelligent as you, what is your response to someone who says, I just feel like everything is a lot right now?
Yes, everything is a lot right now. And the prevailing message there is you're not alone in that. I think if you lined up 9 out of 10 people, or 10 people, 9 out of 10 would say, yeah, I feel that way. There's a great parable by a guy named David Foster Wallace, who had these two fish swimming in the ocean, and they were like these teenage fish. And this older fish kind of goes by them, swims by them and says, hey boys, how's the water? And they look at each other kind of confused a little bit and continue on and just say like, what the hell is water? We're so inundated. I think back like decades ago, and you could say maybe every generation says this, I'm not sure, but I just like factually, we're more inundated now than we ever were. We're fed things more. People look at their phones and look at if it tracks how much time they spend on their phones or their computers, I guarantee you the average is over 10 hours a day. And so let's say you're doing that and you're spending time on social media or trying to get the news or trying to figure out that better cooking recipe or the better parenting technique or whatever it is. You're also fed this very interesting information that is showing you oftentimes like where people are that you're not. And so which in between where you're not and where people are is this deficiency.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
So we're fed this very interesting message through social media. Before that, by the way, I grew up in Los Angeles and I moved to Northern California for a while. And I remember the billboards were very different back then, where in Northern California is all about like tech and software companies. And you drive down the 5 to LA and it's all about TV shows and it's all about glamour and different things like that. And I remember thinking, wow, that's very different messaging that we're getting. One is that you're not successful enough. The other one is you're not beautiful enough. And so we start feeling like we're not enough. So we fall into this kind of shame and deficiency loop. And I feel like that's a prevailing feeling among parents and people in general, is that I'm not good enough. I'm not doing enough. I'm not good enough. And so we feel kind of naturally a little stressed and overwhelmed. And then we go back to try and get information and we get more inundated with that. And the tiny shift there is recognizing that we're all in this together. And that sometimes what we need to do is just kind of bring a bit more awareness to that feeling of imbalance, emotional imbalance. I mean, look, when we're holding on to energy, let's say it's stress as an example. I mean, that impacts our sleep. That impacts how we eat. That impacts our motivation to exercise. That impacts how we relate in our relationships, the capacity we have to listen to the people that we care about versus I just don't have time. I think about my kids sometimes and when they're sitting there or myself, when I'm sitting there kind of looking at my phone, and someone's coming to talk with me, my emotional capacity window is way shorter. And so if they're trying to get something from me, I feel it as an irritation almost. They're interrupting my thing. And like, this is like a human being that I care about way more than whatever the heck is on my phone. We have this area of our kitchen called the corner of crap, which is where just all the stuff goes that doesn't have a home. And so I have this memory in the story, and this has happened probably multiple times, but where my youngest son at the time, I have three boys, and my youngest son at the time was trying to get my attention. I was in the middle of trying to return an Amazon thing and to check airline miles and credit card points and like various things like that because we were leaving on a trip. And so there he was kind of tugging at my shirt and wanting to show me something. And I was like, hold on a second. I remember like, just give me a second. I just need to finish this thing that's here. He wanted to show me something he'd learned. And finally it was over and I completed whatever I completed. And I looked to my left and he was gone. And we might say I missed a moment that could have been a really meaningful moment. The kind of moments we remember years later, like, oh yeah, was that a sweet moment? I missed that. And if we look at Robert Waldinger's research around, he's the research that you're familiar with, most likely your listeners might be familiar with, around longevity, around what was one of the most important elements of health and longevity. And it's our relationships. It's our moments of connection. And we have to ask ourselves, how many moments of connection are we missing out on? And if we can be aware of that, we're missing out on maybe more than we'd like to, because we're caught in conditioned patterns of relating to our tech, or we're caught in our own emotional spirals or our emotional loops more than we'd like to, stress, agitation, shame, different things like that. We can work on very simply in the ordinary moments of our lives, and this is what we'd work on in tiny shifts, recognizing the feeling that we're having, noticing where we're holding it somatically. So we have four steps in this method, very simple, that we can engage in the ordinary moments. Recognize, release, refocus, reinforce, right? And so we name the feeling, we release it from our body, we lower our shoulders, like we talked about before, kind of shaking it out maybe. That widens the space, brings more blood flow to the part of our brain that can make a better choice. We ask a question. Instead of, why is my kid bothering me right now? Or what's wrong with me? we ask a different question, which when we ask our brain questions, it searches for answers, which is what would be something that would support me in the next few minutes of this moment? What do I need right now? What does he or she need right now? I mean, that moves us. It immediately shifts us. We access our natural intelligence, playing with the idea of artificial intelligence. We access our natural intelligence. That moves us immediately from whatever conditioned, unhealthy pattern we're in the moment to something that's going to be adaptive and support connection with ourselves and with other people, which again, supports our health and longevity.
I love the 4R method because I feel like it's something that, you know, you can really put into action in moments of feeling overwhelmed. I feel like people have those moments all the time where you're trying to do something, and especially in parenting, you're trying to do something, you get interrupted or you watch someone get interrupted and the energy shift in the room or just within the person is irritability, frustration, sometimes anger, and the idea of being able to go to those 4 R's of recognize how you're feeling and to be able to shift that is really helpful. I oftentimes, for me, in the way that my brain works in situations like this, I love role play and being able to have scripts or specifics that I go to in my mind for when I'm in that situation or in that scenario where I feel stressed or overwhelmed or overloaded with information or inundated with information that we were talking about people feeling. When you have moments when you feel that way and you recognize it and you're going to release it or refocus and then reinforce, you mentioned lowering your shoulders to create more space. Are there other things that you can do with your body or just in the physical space that really allow you to decompress and allow for space in your body?
That's a great question. So I like the word decompress a little bit. So I want to, everyone who's listening right now, I want to make sure we're on the same page here, where the intention of the release part of this, and the reason you, by the way, you love the, or I'm putting words in your mouth, the reason that it kind of resonates a little bit, the scaffolding, is because that structure, the reason we need that is because we just, in those tough moments, this is okay for everyone to just, we all have the same experience of being human here, where we really can't remember. The emotional center of the brain, the memory center of the brain is not lit up when we're feeling overwhelmed or emotionally overwhelmed in some way. So the scaffolding, something simple to grab onto, helps us bring it back a bit. And so with the release, the reason here's a couple of my go-tos with the release. So I recognize that I might be in the kitchen and there's chaos happening in my house. I grew up a little bit with some chaos, so I'm sort of used to it a little bit, but I'll name it like, wow, chaos internally, I'm feeling overwhelmed. I'll name it a few times. I learned that from, by the way, a colleague of mine named Sarah Lazar at Harvard, which when she went up in front of a audience of like 1,000 people or something, I remember, and she walked up to the mic and she said, fear, fear, fear. And everyone was like, oh my God, that's so brilliant that she's naming that for herself, and allowed her to kind of be more present and speak from a better place, right? So we kind of name it. Where I think most people make the mistake, and I just want to kind of highlight the value of release here, is we just want to fix it or solve it in that moment. We might be like, okay, I can name how I'm feeling, but I just want to kind of move to the next thing. How do I fix my relationship with my kid, or how do I move on and refocus back onto something better in the moment? Maybe I'll just reframe it as like, what am I grateful for? Or something like that, right? But the value of the release is we have to understand that when our nervous system is wound, it doesn't work to do just a cognitive shift or a cognitive reframe or something like that, or to look at it a different way oftentimes. We need to kind of balance our body slightly. We don't have to have the outcome of being completely decompressed, but we want to kind of start leaning in that direction, like kind of like letting out some of the air of a balloon or something.
Hey,
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
So yes, some of my go-tos, the reason I mentioned the shoulders is because I find that a lot of people hold their emotions and stress there. And so for me, and I'll mention a couple other ways, which was what you asked. I want to layer something in here if someone wants to practice that. Let's say from listening to this podcast, maybe you're practicing right now. If you take a breath in, you'll notice your shoulders slightly rise. If you take a slower breath out, you'll notice your shoulders slightly fall. And an interesting thing to pay attention to is the muscles from your neck to your shoulders also begin to elongate and loosen. And so you're literally loosening the muscles of your body that were tightened from the mini fight, flight, freeze response that happens in stress moments when our blood flow goes to our muscles because we have to get ready to take action. And so we want to rebalance that. And so if you do that and you are working with your shoulders, let's say you want to play with that, I'd recommend paying attention to your muscles loosening, because something different happens when you have an awareness of your muscles beginning to soften. Okay, so that's the shoulders thing that I just wanted to mention with that. But another thing you can do is notice where you're holding the tension. For some people, it's in their stomach. For some people, it's in their back. For some people, it's in their hands or in their face and their jaw. You just want to take a moment and see if you can kind of just loosen it. You can massage your jaw a little bit. You can shake out your arms if you noticed your arms were holding some of the tension. You can just kind of take a moment and kind of shake it out. None of this takes extra time. You can do this while walking from your bedroom to the kitchen. You can do this while you're driving in the car typically. You can release your white knuckling of the steering wheel and just kind of release your grip and pay attention to the release. You could take your hands and really tense them up and release and pay attention to the release. It's just a moment of just literally releasing the physiology a little bit. And that's enough typically to bring more blood flow to the part of the brain that is now about to engage this next thing, which is to begin to refocus. And now we want to refocus in ways that are adaptive to me. Do I need to make repair in this moment with this person? What's something I can do that can enhance the next few moments? By the way, this is now where you can, because people have listened to your podcast, have probably listened to a number of really cool people, including yourself, and there's bits of wisdom and nuggets that they listen to. They're like, oh, I really like to remember that. That was really great listening to this person. Now you have more of an ability to actually access that and give it roots. So you might even ask, what was that one thing I listened on that episode that is going to be supportive to me in this moment? Accessing your natural intelligence. The golden question, of course, that so many people have heard here before, but I want to come back to, which is a central question around self-compassion, which I think as parents and humans in this world is probably the most gold you can ever begin to access, which is just what is going to be most supportive to me right now, or what do I need right now? I mentioned in the book, I'm like, that's the question you want to tattoo on your brain, because that's the opposite of the guilt loop, the shame loop that as parents and people, we riddle ourselves with in a huge way, because we think we need to be, we strive to be perfect in some way. We want the best for ourselves and our kids. And there is no perfection. That's not the goal. The goal is to be someone who's really good at repair, which is something people here have likely heard before.
The getting good at repair you mentioned Dan Siegel, and with parenting, especially the lid flip moment of when something happens, if your kids are fighting or if someone does something that needs some wisdom or guidance around the temper tantrum, a meltdown, et cetera. The lid flip I had always thought of as being something that was focused on children or toddlers or kids, and then you transfer it over to also adults have the same moments of they're overwhelmed or there's too much coming their way, their lids are flipped, and you go to your 4R method and the release and refocus. When you're factoring in the repair, what's the, did I cue that? Did you hear my child just scream? Because it was as if we cued a screaming.
Perfect. This is all synchronistic. Yeah.
I'm wondering
it's synchronistic,
when.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm wondering when the repair factors in to the timing of your brain being able to receive or offer repair.
The adult?
The adult, or just people in general, child, adults, when you're, even when you're dealing with your own feelings or emotions, if you're feeling like, okay, I need to go through, I need to figure out what I'm feeling right now, what I need, lower my shoulders.
I just snapped at my kid.
Exactly. Like when is the, or I snapped at my significant other or my sibling or my parent or my best friend or whatever. When is that repair?
The moment you notice that, we typically fall into, you know, like a guilt or shame spiral, typically, or a loop. I call it emotional loop. Emotional loop is really just a conditioning that we all share. It's a combination of thoughts, emotions, physical sensations in the body, and actions, typically. Those are the four elements in an emotional loop. And the shame and guilt loop oftentimes is just really a sign that we care. we'll just kind of land that, because if we just kind of stay in that and we don't know how to work with it, then it continues to turn into this self-attack. So the moment we are ready is the moment we can just name it. We can allow ourselves to ground just for a second. That's the release stage. So we might just say to ourselves after we snap at our significant other or our kid, or we find ourselves in that shame, we find those voices, those familiar voices that are telling us what a bad person or parent we are and how we're not good enough or whatever it might be, or that we've wronged somebody. And we're able to kind of name that, oh, this is what's happening internally with me right now. I'm noticing this reaction. You're basically accessing a moment of mindfulness, a moment of awareness. This is this reaction that's happening internally right now. I'm noticing, if I then shift to, I'm noticing where I'm holding this in my body. I'm noticing the reactivity that's there physically. We're getting ourselves ready. This is us preparing ourselves then to move towards repair, move towards refocusing on that, move towards reconnecting with this person, or initially. Notice how initially we connect with ourselves. Notice how that's the first place we connect to. We don't connect to the other person first. We connect to ourselves first. And that's the release. Then with the refocus, now we're prepared to own what happened. And again, I want to make the note here, because I think it's very important, is that the owning of it out loud is more important modeling, even if it doesn't, the outcome of that moment is not what you want, is not the expect, oh, this, I went to go, I mean, I probably have so many countless examples with my kids of doing something like this, and I didn't get the beautiful tied up in a bow kind of package at the end. It didn't end that way, but I know to bring myself back to the, okay, hold on, I'd come back to recognize, release, refocus. Like the refocus being like, what about this was still useful or supportive or helpful? You know, me, all I can do, what can I do versus what can't I do is a great question that helps with the refocus too. What can I do is all I can do is provide this message of owning this, so that my kid, hopefully, seeds are planted about the importance of doing that, and knowing that I'm safe because he can trust me. I'm going to own this stuff. I'm not going to deflect or ignore. Maybe at times, but by the way, again, good enough parent. There's certainly times I've done that, But my intention is to kind of work with this to be able to own it, because that's what I want my kid to grow up in this world doing. I want them to know that it's okay to mess up. It's okay to snap at someone or make a mistake. You don't have to be perfect. I don't want them to grow up in a world thinking like that needs to be the case, because that creates stress, anxiety, depression. That's where that goes. Sleepless nights. And so just owning it is the repair on its own. And it's a signal of safety to your kid, and also that you love them. And that's what we can ask. So we're kind of leaning into that. Recognize, release, refocus into that. If you can take that in for a moment, that's where the moment of reinforce comes in. The purpose of reinforce, the fourth R, which most people miss, I would say, just in their everyday lives, is that we want to tag the memory of something that we did or a moment that was constructive and helpful and that we can be proud of ourselves for. And so if something happened and you noticed that you were able to do something different that was constructive, you want to take a moment and stop and just recognize that. Again, you're kind of coming back to recognizing the good moment, the shift. And you want to see if you can notice how that lands somatically in your body. And take a breath in and take just take a moment just to acknowledge that. And that what that helps do is the brain now tags it. It's called emotional tagging. It's a neuroscience. And it makes it more memorable for the next time, so your mind can pull it more in the tougher moments that are there.
I love that. That really makes sense. And also hearing you talk all about this whilst listening to my children scream outside was perfectly matched to really...
I'm wondering how that's pulling on your body right now.
I know that they are totally fine and they're just happy screams, like summer outside screams. So that makes it, that makes it much better. I know that we're coming to the end now. I'm wondering if there are, since, you know, so much of this is managing stress, about longevity, about having these practices in our toolbox for living life long-term, of how to manage overwhelm, manage stress, manage moments in all areas of life. Are there three non-negotiables that you implement into your life, or that you would tell someone to better help them manage stress and be able to implement things like the four R's and making tiny shifts in their life to better manage stress?
I would say, remember, everything's about a practice. So I would say, I'll try to consider three things, but everything's a practice. So just like a training, and I give this example a lot. The reason I got into this is one of the things I got into this because when I was leaning into my late 40s, I started getting very interested in the field of health and longevity, because I'm like, okay, I want to be here with my kids, and I want to be like strong with them and my grandkids and, you know, all that. That's my hope and my plan, right? And so I'm like, I got to make my body a little bit stronger. So I started looking into the field of health and longevity and realizing that a lot of people who are hyper-focused just on that area of longevity, even like physicians, other people, as I started looking at what things that they were writing and even talking with people, because I also run a podcast, the Emotional Longevity Podcast, where I interview people about that stuff too, I started noticing there was a thread of feeling sort of miserable. And even though they were focused so much on their physical health, they weren't taking care of their emotional health. And emotional health is really the cornerstone, because if you're working on being the perfect anything and you're miserable, what's the point? And then there's a lot of correlations between our emotional health and markers around exercise, nutrition, sleep, these important areas. So I then kind of picked up my own trainer. And he told me, he said, you know, Elisha, there's a difference between exercise and training. I said, what, tell me the difference. And he said, well, exercise, you're moving with some kind of regular practice, but you're not trying to strengthen anything. With training, you're trying to strengthen something. And so I would consider this a little bit like a training that we can do in the ordinary moments of our everyday life. You're trying to strengthen your emotional health. You're trying to strengthen your ability to respond differently after the moment or in the moment with a bit more wisdom that you've picked up from all the places that we're picking things up from that are resonating with us. So look at it as a practice and a training, but it's something that's light that you can do in the ordinary moments of your everyday life. I would say that that's one thing. Another thing is, it's not about the perfection around it. We're learning just as much or more from the missteps that we have. Because then again, the missteps we have, we catch ourselves, I've had so many examples of this, catch yourself in a shame loop, like what's wrong with me, or I'm a defective parent in some way, or a person human. And we recognize that, we recognize, we release, we refocus. And if we refocus, if it's just about that moment, and we're refocused on that question of like, okay, what do I, I've got, I'm being so hard on myself. Can I even be kind to myself? That's a question that can arise, right? A different question. Yeah, I can. What would that look like? Okay, I'm going to go take a walk outside, or I'm going to sit here and put my hand on my heart. I'm going to go talk with someone. Or we totally shifted the moment. So we don't have to be perfect. We can make these, we learn just as much or more from the moments where we have missteps. And I'd say the final thing is that the most important thing is the recovery. So if you're going to get worked out by a physician somewhere and they're putting you on a treadmill, they're not just necessarily measuring your breathing and how fast you're breathing. You stop the treadmill and they don't stop. That's where they hit their clock. And what are they doing in that moment? They're measuring your recovery. And that's going to be the signature of health. How fast does it take for your heart rate to go back to baseline after you've been stressed? After it's been stressed. This is the same thing. What we're looking for from an emotional health perspective, how fast can we come back to baseline after a reaction that we have, after a moment we snap at somebody, after the moment we're hard on ourselves, after the moment we just get just bent in the moment? Like, how fast can we come back to recovery? So that's sort of what we're training. We're training our ability to just come back a little bit sooner. And these are the elements of what we're working with tiny shifts. And by the way, it's just these small moments. It's just these small, ordinary moments. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that that's so digestible and also approachable for people who want to be able to make those small changes, but don't look at it like, oh my God, I have to change so much in my life to be able to achieve an ability to manage my stress in a great way. Like, it's the little things that you can change every day. So I think that that's, at least for me, it makes the whole subject matter much more enticing to be able to say like, okay, these are little things to be able to change along the way. So thank you so much.
Yeah. Let me mention one thing before we go. If you wake up in the morning already coiled up because your kids, maybe you have a lot to do and it's, you know, get everything ready in the house. One tiny shift you can do just from the morning is to wake up. And if your kids are still sleeping, instead of going straight to your planning and getting everything prepared, and you can just kind of see if you can go to their room, if they're still sleeping, put your hand on their back and make a connection that's there. And notice that you start the day from connection. And I think that's one of the most valuable shifts we can take away in our lives is like, and it might not be that exact example, maybe that works for you or not, depending on your context, your life and house. But what's a way that I can start the morning from connection? And it's just, again, something small. That's an example. Maybe it's just with yourself. You start the morning laying in bed and you put your hand on your chest or your abdomen and you take a few moments just connecting with yourself. How do I start the day from connection? Because really connection is at the epicenter of emotional health and well-being. And it just takes a small pivot to do that from the beginning of the day.
That's such a beautiful way for parents to be able to change the tone of their morning or set an intention that would be such a pure one by being able to just do those little changes if you happen to wake up before your children that I think would really change the course of your entire day. I love that. Thank you so much. Thank you for all of this wisdom and all of this guidance. And I'm really grateful. So thank you.
Yeah, I'm glad we were able to work it out too. Thanks for having me.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Looking for a little Hollywood-style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.